This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. We continue بإذن الله تعالى. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Before the short ad break, we discussed the introduction to this pillar of Islam, which is the pillar of Zakah. We spoke about the linguistic definition, the legal definition, it being the third pillar of Al-Islam, made an obligation in second year after the Hijrah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other terms associated with it, it's also called Sadaqah, it's also called Haqq. The one who denies zakah ceases to be a Muslim. As for the one who is lax and lazy and a miser, we spoke about the punishment in the hereafter and punishment in this dunya. We also touched upon the wisdoms related to zakah and its payment. We spoke about the five conditions upon the payer. Must be Muslim, must be free, must own the quantum, the nisab, must have complete ownership over the swab, and the lunar cycle must pass over it. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we now move on to the first hadith in the book of Zakah from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillati al-Ahkam of the great scholar of al-Islam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. And brothers and sisters, we should all have a copy of this book, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Hadith number 483, he states, عن Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, related by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'atha Mu'adhan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ila al-Yaman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent who? Sent Mu'adh to where? Sent him to Yemen. Fadhakar al-hadith, and the long hadith was mentioned. But from amongst that hadith we find, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ إِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Allah has made an obligation upon them, made this zakah an obligation for them in their wealth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ إِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ, taken from their rich. فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ, and given to who? And given to their poor. Taken from their rich and given to their poor. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and no doubt he was a Jabal, he was a mountain, subhanallah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of those young companions of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent here to the area of Yemen, sent from Medina to Yemen. He was sent as a caller to Islam, as a da'iyah, he was sent as a judge, he was sent as a governor. He and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, they were both sent together. When was this? This was in the 10th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was long before Hajj. As some of the ulama said that this occurred in Rabi al-Awwal. This occurred in Rabi al-Awwal in the year 10 AH. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending this Mu'adh to Yemen. And instructs him that in the longer hadith, that you are going to the people of the Ahl al-Kitab. Your audience, the people you're going to go and do da'wah to, they are people of the Ahl al-Kitab, subhanallah. This informs us, tells us, that you need to know who you are calling to Islam. You need to know your audience. You need to know your audience. You need to know exactly who you're speaking to. You don't go and talk to them about belief in God. They already believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in Isa alayhi salam and all of these anbiya. They believe in Musa alayhi salam. Example, Isa alayhi salam, the Christians, Musa alayhi salam, the Jews, and those of the anbiya before them. They believe in Allah and the prophets. So know your audience. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about the pillars of Islam, mentioned the matter of prayer. Informed them that five daily prayers and obligation upon them. If they accept that, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an obligation upon them, the matter of zakah, subhanallah. Beginning with the most important, then we move on to the next matter. What's the most important? Salah. صلاة صلاة. أول ما يحاسب العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first matter to be judged on يوم القيامة in terms of the rights of Allah سبحانه وتعالى would be the matter of صلاة. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Salah keeps you away from all of this lewdness and فحشاء and منكر and evil. If they accept the صلاة, then you tell them the matter of zakah after that. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We find that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned the matter of zakah. And in this hadith it states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, that this zakah in their wealth, that this zakah is due upon their wealth. فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, super important, subhanAllah. That word, فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, those words, فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, this is one of the proofs of majority of the ulama who are of the opinion that zakah is not due upon the person, but rather zakah is due upon the wealth. Understand that, brothers and sisters. Majority of the ulama, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, are of the opinion that zakah is due not upon the person, but rather upon the wealth. Thus, they state, zakah is also due upon the wealth of the kid, upon the wealth of the senile, upon the wealth of the Down syndrome individual, the one who's baby, irrelevant. Zakah is a haq upon the wealth. Proof, this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell the people of Yemen that there is this haq which is due upon their wealth. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. And so, subhanAllah, maybe it's the right time to discuss that mas'ala. The mas'ala of whether zakah is an obligation upon the wealth of kids, upon the wealth of the insane, etc., etc. If one looks in Bulugh al-Maram, hadith number 491, we find the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ وَلِيَ يَتِيمًا لَهُ مَالٍ, whoever oversees the affairs of an orphan, فَلْيَتَّجِرْ لَهُ, then you are overseeing the wealth of the orphan, do business with the orphan's money. وَلَا يَتْرُكُهُ حَتَّى تَأْكُلَهُ الصَّدَقَةِ, don't just leave the wealth, because every year you need to pay zakah. And then technically after 5-10 years, the zakah will eat up all of that wealth. So you are the guardian over the wealth of the orphan. Don't just keep it there. Rather do some business with it so that it increases. Otherwise, every year, the zakah will eat up this wealth eventually and there will be nothing left over, subhanAllah. That hadith number 491, one of the proofs of those majority of the ulama who state that zakah is due upon the wealth of the kid, upon the wealth of the infant, upon the wealth of the senile, etc., etc. Remember, the ulama are in agreement that zakah is an obligation upon every Muslim who is baligh and who is aqil. If you are sane, masha'Allah, if you are mature, masha'Allah, 100% zakah applies upon you. The only difference of opinion, whether zakah is due upon the wealth of the kid, the one who is not yet baligh, and the one who is not aqil, but rather the one who is insane, etc. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the first opinion, the opinion of the Hanafi scholars, the Hanafi madhab, the Hanafi scholars, they are of the opinion that zakah is not an obligation upon the kid's wealth, not an obligation upon the senile's wealth, etc. Although take note that the Hanafi scholars have a bit of tafsir and they have a bit of detail that they state that zakah is due upon zuru and thimar of the orphan, but not on the wealth in terms of gold and silver, etc., etc. So the Hanafi madhab, generally we can say, no zakah due. And you also have Imam al-Sha'bi, Imam al-Ibrahim al-Nakha'i and others who were also of that opinion. What were some of their proofs? The great Hanafi scholars, what were some of their proofs that zakah is not due upon the infant's wealth? They said because the infant is not mukallaf. The infant, you know, there's no taklif upon the infant. The one who is insane, there's no taklif upon such an individual. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he not say, the pin has been lifted from three? The pen has been lifted from three. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنِ الثَّلَاثِ. That the sabi hatta yahtalim, the kid, until they reach maturity, the insane, until they regain sanity. So if the pen is lifted, then why are you stating that they need to pay zakah? Pen's lifted, no zakah due from them. That's one proof. The second proof, they said that zakah is an act of ibadah, it's an act of worship. And for every act of worship, you need to have intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. But this individual, the baby, he doesn't even know what an intention is. He doesn't know what zakah is. He has no understanding what ibadah is. The one who's insane, senile, the one who's Down syndrome, how are they going to have intention? An intention is required for ibadah, and zakah is ibadah. So this means no zakah due upon them. They also said that Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Take from their wealth this zakah to purify them. To purify them, we pay zakah to purify ourselves. They said, as for the one who's senile, as for the one who's insane, the one who's a kid, they don't really require purification because they have no sin. So no purification needed from them. So it means no zakah required from them. So those were the three main proofs of the Hanafi scholars. As for majority of the ulama, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Ibn Umar, his son, etc. Majority of the ulama and majority of the Sahaba, etc., etc. They said, no, zakah is an obligation upon the wealth of the kid, etc. Why? They said, number one, the general texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, which made zakah an obligation, did not specify, did not exclude the kid or the insane, etc. They were not excluded. So as long as they were not excluded, then by default they are included. Example, the various verses and ahadith. Number two, important. They said that zakah is a haq upon the wealth. And it's not necessarily a haq upon the body or a haq upon the person. Zakah is an obligation upon the wealth. Fi amwalihim, like in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, who was going to Yemen, tell them that there is a haq due upon their wealth. Not due upon their body. Salah, due upon your body. Hajj, due upon your body. Whereas zakah, it's due upon your wealth. Then we also find the verse of the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Take from their wealth. It did not exclude the orphan, etc. You have a kid, mashallah. He's 3 years old and his father's passed away and left behind an estate for him worth 2.5 million. The right of the poor is upon that 2.5 million. The poor guy, he's not interested. The one who's in debt, the one who's the slave, etc. They, the mujahid, those who are due to collect zakah and accept zakah, they're not concerned whether this money came from, you know, somebody who's white, somebody who's black, somebody who's baligh, somebody who's not baligh, somebody who's 3 years old, somebody who's 20 years old. They're not interested in that. They're just interested in the money. So, the zakah being an obligation upon the wealth and not necessarily the body. They said that zakah is the right of the poor. It's the haq of the poor. It is the right of the poor and it is from huquq al-ibad. It is from the rights of people over others. They also mentioned this hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are the guardian over the wealth of the orphan, who's an orphan? The one who's not yet mature. If you're the guardian over the wealth of the orphan, then do business with it. Otherwise, the zakah will eat up that money. Here's an orphan, here's the hadith, here's the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said clearly that use it in business so that zakah does not eat it up. Meaning, obviously, you will be paying zakah on it every year. Although there's debate with regards to the authenticity of that hadith. We find from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to take out the zakah of the orphans that she used to look after. The kids of her brother, Jayid, her nieces, nephews, etc. She used to pay the zakah on their behalf every single year. And this is mentioned in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Majority of the scholars, they also said if the kid goes into a shop and the kid is looking at this and looking at that and he breaks something and he drops a vase and he breaks whatever, is compensation not due? 100% compensation is due. You need to pay the shopkeeper. There's no sin upon the kid. The kid is not sinful. 2-year-old kid went into the shop, 3-year-old kid is in the aisle there, he touched something, he dropped a bottle of water, he dropped a glass of something. Somebody has to pay compensation. As for sin, there's no sin upon the kid, but compensation has to be due. Similarly, when the Hanafi said, no, it's an act of worship and niyyah, intention is required, majority of the ulama said that zakah is different from salah. Zakah is different from salah and siyam. Siyam and salah due from your body. You need to do it. And you cannot delegate it to somebody else. I cannot say, Brother Salim, today can you fast on my behalf? I cannot say to Ahmed, you know what, I'm very tired today. Can you pray my 5 daily prayers? You can't do that with regards to salah and siyam. But zakah, you can delegate somebody to pay it on your behalf. So there is a difference between zakah and siyam and salah. The husband can say to the wife, you know what, I'm going to pay your zakah this year. No problem. Wife can say to the husband, I'm going to pay your zakah. The businessman, he has his accountant. He says, accountant, you work out the zakah and you pay it, you know, from my money. You can delegate. So in zakah, zakah is a different type of act of worship. Yes, it's an act of worship, but delegation is allowed. It's an act of worship, but it's an act of worship upon the wealth. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, these were some of the proofs of majority of the ulama, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, Imam Malik and others, Yusuf al-Qarbawi and others, majority of the ulama in reality of the opinion that zakah is due upon the wealth of the child, upon the wealth of the infant, upon the wealth of the insane. Why? Because zakah is a haq on the wealth and not the body. Because it's the right of the poor over your wealth. Because the poor guy is not interested whether you baligh or you're not baligh, whether you are insane or sane. They worried about their haq. Maybe a kid is sitting with an estate of 5 million. Upon what haq, what right do we prevent the poor from benefiting from that 2.5%? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as we said, that's the opinion of majority of the ulama. The Hanafi scholars said, no, it's not an obligation. And you go with the scholars that you follow, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. If one wants to take the safer opinion, if one wants to do the extra, one wants to be on the safe side, one wants to do and go the extra mile, walhamdulillah, then obviously the parents paying this on behalf of the child's wealth, etc., would no doubt be the better thing. The Hanafis are saying it's not an obligation, but they are not saying it's haram for you to sort it out. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then had mentioned that you order them with regards to the 5 daily prayers, and if they accept, you tell them that there is this haq, right over their wealth, taken from their rich and given to their poor. And so, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will discuss the mas'ala, the second important mas'ala tonight, the transferring of your zakah from one land to the other land. Transferring your zakah from Johannesburg to Cape Town. Transferring your zakah from Lesotho to Timbuktu. From the UK to Canada. Is this allowed? Is this not allowed? What's the ruling with regards to this? Let's see. The same hadith, subhanAllah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh, inform them that there is this right which must be taken from their wealth and given to their poor. I repeat, taken from their wealth, from their rich and given to their poor. And based upon that wording, we find, subhanAllah, the ulama have debated. One group of ulama, they said that what is meant by their rich to their poor, it means their rich of that town to their poor of that same town. The rich of that town should give to the poor of that town. And that's the opinion of majority of the ulama. And no doubt that is the asl, that is the basic default rule, that your zakah should be distributed in the area where you are. In fact, brothers and sisters, we found many of the classical ulama stating that your zakah should be distributed within the boundaries of the masafa of qasr. The distance required for Qasr al-Salah, which is plus minus 86 kilometers. that technically your zakah should be distributed within a radius of 86 kilometers. Many of them disliked sending your zakah a distance over 86 kilometers, subhanAllah. Why? Because of this hadith, that it must be taken from their rich and given to their poor, meaning their rich of that town and given to their poor of that town. And that is the opinion of majority of the ulama, that the best case scenario, it should be distributed there amongst the people. And many wisdoms, because the people closest to you have a greater haq upon you. The people closest to you have a greater haq upon you. We find that Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an, he had collected some zakah in Yemen during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he had sent it to Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And Umar reprimanded him that, no, why are you sending this money here? You're supposed to distribute this there in Yemen. It's the money of the people of Yemen taken from their rich. It must be distributed to their poor. Umar reprimanded him and sent the money back. It was only after a few times that Mu'adh then sent it back. And he says, I don't find anybody who is needy here. Right? There's nobody in need here. Yes. In that case, then obviously, if there's nobody needy, there's no recipient there, then you can send it wherever. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The basic rule is that your zakah should be distributed in your land, in your area. Some put the condition of masafa of qasr, meaning plus minus 86 kilometers, right? That's the basic default rule. You're allowed to transfer it when? When there's nobody in your area that requires, obviously. And number two, maybe there's a greater need somewhere else. Maybe there's an earthquake somewhere, subhanAllah. Maybe, for example, you know, there's some catastrophe in some area, so they require emergency funding, then yes, obviously there's greater maslaha. There's somebody is dying in some area because they do not find any rice to eat. They do not even have a meal a day. And, you know, you want to spend it on a bursary, you know, with regards to somebody down your street. Then here, obviously, we give preference to priority. Saving somebody's life is obviously more important than matter of a bursary. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The basic rule, as we said, is that keep the money in the area that it was collected, distributed amongst the people there. Why? Because the people around you, imagine if they see, oh, look at these people, mashallah, how many rich people, but they're all sending their money overseas. They're all sending their money to some other country. We here, the poor of the land, we are not benefiting. This is going to cause great animosity, great strife between the various categories and classes of people, subhanAllah. And we don't want that. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we say that if there's nobody in your area that requires, then you can transfer. If there's a greater need somewhere else, then you can transfer. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Otherwise, you should distribute it in the area that you are in. Walhamdulillah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that taken from their rich and given to their poor. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam only mentioned their poor, their fuqara. He did not mention the other seven categories of zakah. And that's why majority of the ulama state that Salim, Ahmed, Ilyas, myself, yourself, when we're distributing our zakah, we can give it to one of the eight categories. I don't have to take my money, divide it into eight portions and give one to the fuqara, one to the masakin, one to this group, one to that group. I don't need to do that. Jayid, I can suffice myself with one group, because in the hadith of Mu'adh, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take from the rich and give to the poor, and he did not mention the other seven categories. Although they are mentioned in the Quran, you can suffice yourself with one category, and that is fantastic. Alhamdulillah. You want to divide your money into eight pockets of wealth and give to the poor, give to the miskeen, give to the the slaves, etc. Right? And we'll talk more about that later on. You want to give to those in debt? MashaAllah, may Allah increase you in your reward, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Also, this hadith mentions taken from their rich and given to their poor. Indicates that if the rich do not want to pay it, we will take it with force. We will take it by force from them, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also learn from this hadith, tadarruj, wisdom in sequence. Began with salah and then moved on to the matter of zakah. We prioritize those matters of greater importance. We find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending Mu'ad. He never sent somebody who was illiterate, somebody who didn't really know about Islam. He sent Mu'ad, who will be the leader of the ulama on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He sent a man of knowledge to go and teach the people. We also learn from this hadith, understand your audience, know who you are talking about. We learn the importance of the shahada firstly, number two, salah, number three, zakah. In this hadith, towards the end, Prophet ﷺ warned Mu'ad, advised to him, that beware of the best of their wealth. If you're taking sheep, if you're collecting zakah in camels, etc. Maybe they have 20 camels, but this one's the favorite. Don't take the favorite. They have 20 sheep, etc., 50 sheep, 100 sheep, you know, these 10, etc. They really love it. Don't take from that one. Beware of taking from their best wealth. You take from the average wealth. Then he warned Mu'ad, وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Beware of the dua, of the invocation, the dua supplication of the one who's oppressed. Because there is no hijab between the dua of the oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mu'adh, you're going to go and collect zakah, be careful. Beware, don't take from their best wealth, take from their average wealth. Ya Andallah, Ya Amat Allah. This was the beautiful hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an. The first hadith in the book of Zakah from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillati al-Ahkam. And that number was hadith number 483. We also discussed hadith number 491 dealing with the Zakah on the wealth of the kid. Brothers and sisters, in summary, it seems time is already up, subhanAllah. In summary, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, a few important masail we discussed. Number one, is zakah due upon the wealth of the kid, the infant, the child, the orphan, the insane, the Down syndrome? We discussed in great detail. Majority say yes, Hanafi say no. Then we also discussed the important mas'ala, especially applicable today in our contemporary issue here in this country, sending, transferring my zakah to another land, to another country. And we spoke about that matter. We said that basic rule, spend in the land. Some ulama said you have to spend it within 86 kilometers. We said it's allowed if there's a greater need somewhere else and if you have sufficed and you have covered up the needs of the people in your local area. We spoke about whether you need to give zakah to all 8 categories or you can suffice yourself with one. You can suffice yourself with one. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We discussed the wisdoms of zakah. We said zakah is an obligation upon every Muslim who is free, who owns the nisab, has complete ownership over the wealth, and the lunar cycle has passed over it. We spoke and we discussed that it's the third pillar of Islam, made an obligation in the second year of the Hijrah, also called Sadaqah, also called Haqq. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Zakah means increase, it means Barakah, it means Tahara, it means praising. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, sort out your Zakah. حياكم الله يا عبد الله يا أمت الله. Until we meet again, we will continue بإذن الله تعالى. Once we meet, we will continue this discussion surrounding zakah. حياكم الله جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.